Revelation chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads.
See here in verse 4.
I have questions from verse 1.
Yeah, verse 4 it talks about, we'll only hurt the people but not the environment. Okay, see, today there is a big movement among the Antichrist people, the New World Order, to protect the environment, you know. So, they invented a bomb. It's called the neutron bomb, I think it's called.
Neutron.
I think that's the way they call it. Maybe quite a few years ago. And it's a demonic. Like, when it explodes, it protects the environment. It doesn't damage the things, only kills people.
That's amazing. And
it doesn't blow up and destroy, it's like a,
everything.
Like a normal bomb. No, it just kills the people. Very demonic. Because the devil worship nature, the creation, but not the creator. Mm-hmm. So the devil loves and likes to keep the things, the material thing, materialism, but it kills the people. So this bomb has already been invented. It's called the neutron bomb.
Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. And in those days shall man seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hairs as the hair of woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt man 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has its name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come 2 woes more hereafter. Wow, what a image. It's quite scary. I want to ask this star in verse 1 that falls from heaven. It says, to him was given the key. So it's a creature, it's something that lives. It's not just a star. Right? What is it?
Yeah, this could be the devil, Satan, himself. Like it says in Revelation 12, there was war in heaven, verse 7. Mm-hmm. Archangel Michael fights against the devil and his angels. And the devil and his angel are thrown out of heaven. Because now the devil is in heaven, a part of heaven, delimited by God.
The devil now is not on the earth?
The devil, well, it comes onto the earth. It comes also to the earth to torment the people, but it's still in heaven. It would be thrown out of heaven in Revelation 12, okay, which is during the Great Tribulations.
So he comes and goes whenever he wants, or how is it?
Yes, yes, he comes and goes whenever he wants. Like when Jesus in Luke chapter 10 said that I saw the devil cast out and fall from heaven, he was seeing a projection of the future.
And why does the devil have access in heaven?
Because the devil and
why does God let him?
The devil and his angels, which are now demons, they rebelled. The place was in heaven. They rebelled in heaven. They're still in heaven, just in a section kept under the control of God's soldiers, God's army, God's angels, led by the archangel Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we see that in Revelation 12, who keep them under control. Understand?
And now in verse 1 in Revelation 9. The devil falls from heaven onto the earth, and he receives the key of the bottomless pit. What is that?
Yeah, the bottomless pit.
Is it's that a hell?
No, it's not hell. It's almost like hell. It's a prison. It's a spiritual prison.
How do you know it's a spiritual prison?
Satyrs of prison, I know because the Bible says, Revelation 20, verse 1 to until 3, I think, it shows that Satan, the devil, is being imprisoned into the bottomless pit. In Greek, it's called abusos, which means, it's a negation, it's a negative. Busos means pit. So, abusos means the floor, It means bottom. Busos means bottom, actually. So, abusos means without bottom. So, in Revelation 20, it shows that the devil is being kept in prison there for 1,000 years after the battle of Armageddon.
Okay.
So by this we know that the abusos or the bottomless pit, because if you go to the Greek, this word here, bottomless pit, is called abuso. It's the same place where the devil is going to go.
But how can that be without bottom? What's that?
Well, it doesn't have a bottom. I believe that the place is in the center of the earth. Why?
Why? Why do you believe that?
I believe because that's the only place that doesn't have a bottom.
What do you mean it doesn't have a bottom?
The center of the earth does not have a bottom because...
But the earth is something physical that has a limit, has a size.
No, it doesn't have a bottom because, you see, because of the earth rotations, what is a floor, the ground, now in 12 hours becomes the roof.
I understand.
You understand?
Okay.
So imagine yourself being put in some kind of a ball that rotates all the time. Every 12 hours, you go back to the same place after 24 hours. That's what happens to you. So the bottomless pit, I believe that's what it means. And there's a place where the devil is going to be imprisoned. And these stars are forced from heaven, okay, to him, so it's a him, it's a creature, is given the key. So it's not talking about comets or meteorites. It's a him, it's a creature who can have a key, and with this key unlocks the bottomless pit. In other words, it unlocks the prison where the demons are.
Is this a prison where you said the bad demons are
closed
and the Antichrist will be closed? And why is the devil receiving the key? Isn't God supposed to have this key?
If you go to the Epistle of Jude, 1 verse 6, says that the demons are kept in chains for the day of judgment. And this place, I believe, is the bottomless pit, where the same place where the devil is going to be.
How come God gives him the key?
In fact, just a second. In fact, if you read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, which is a perfect description, it's a history of the devil. Okay, it shows in there how when the devil is going to be sent to prison, the people in the prisons, they're going to say, have thou become like one of us? You were terrorizing the world. So the chapters depict when the devil is going to be sent in prison.
Okay? In the same bottomless pit.
In the same bottomless
pit. So how come God gives him the key if he's going to be also one of the prisoners there?
Because the devil is still in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not imprisoned yet. He will be imprisoned after the Great Tribulation, after the Battle of Armageddon, after the devil loses that, at the beginning of the millennium. That's when, after the Armageddon, and between Armageddon and the beginning of the millennium, the devil is going to be imprisoned. Revelation 20, verse 1.
I have a question from verse 4. It says, he was commanding them that they should not hurt the grass, neither the green nor the tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, we know that the 144,000 have the seal, but that means that the bride will be hurt because she doesn't have the seal.
Exactly. I wanted to
it will be hurt?
Exactly. I wanted to bring that out.
Okay.
The bride, it would be hurt. It would be hurt. In fact, all Christians who are in their own place are going to be hurt, are going to suffer.
Even though they are the bride. They will be hurt.
They would be hurt if they are in their own place, but their true bride is not going to be their own place. Because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The bride hear the voice of Jesus and the bride will follow. And when Jesus will indicate the place of protection, because there is a place of protection like for Noah, just like for Noah and his family was protected, they were protected in the ark. So during the Great Tribulation, the bride, God will take care of his bride, just like Noah. We be protected. The bride will float on the Great Tribulation. It has a place of prepared for her. The bride or the woman which gets married with Jesus, Revelation 19, verse 7, I believe, is the same woman or Revelation 12, verse 6 and 14. Okay, which symbolically represents Holy Mary, the church, and also the bride. Okay, those, that woman. And the woman that is protected for 1,260 days or two times and half a time, all right, it's the bride, and it's protected, and it's fed. Why does it say fed? Why does it talk about food? Because in those 3.5 years, nobody can buy and sell without the mark of the beast.
That's true.
So she will be fed.
Wow.
But not so for the other Christians who will be attacked and destroyed, as we see in the next scripture, Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 13:7. You understand? The rest of the Christians will be attacked and overcome. Not so the bride, not so the virgin with oil, not so the believers who prepare themselves, not so the Christians who get filled with the Holy Spirit, one, and two, hear God's voice, and three, obey. Today there are Christians who are saved, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. Next, the Holy Spirit, but they don't hear from God. Next, they hear from God, but they don't obey. Understand? There are many categories, like Jesus said in Matthew 13. The good seeds is represented, representing the people of God, but some are 30, 60, 90, 100%. Not all Christians are the bride. Not all Christians are true. Some Christians are in name only. Revelation 3:1, Sardis. Some Christians are going to be vomited out. Revelation 3:14. Some Christians are going to be blessed with a crown and with open doors opened in front of them. Revelation 13:7, Philadelphia. Not all Christians are the same. Understand? Not all are going to be the bride of Christ. Many Christians will be like, says Matthew 7:21, they will do miracles, this and that, but Jesus is going to say, well, I don't know you. You know, they cannot enter into the marriage chamber. Matthew 25, verse 1. They cannot enter in because of disobedience. They love the church bench more than Christ. They love the church building more than evangelizing the lost. Who are the lost? Christ. The lost people are Christ. The lost sheep is Christ. By not loving a lost soul, a lost sheep, you don't love Christ. Because that lost sheep is supposed to get saved. But if you don't give him salvation, he's not going to get saved. And if you love your church bench, if you love your church building, and you make an idol out of your religious church, okay, you're not going to reach the lost. Today, the pastor of church are divided into categories. The pastors who reach the lost, preach the gospel to the lost, with great sacrifice, because the lost don't give you money. And the pastors who only preach the gospel to those already saved, those already believers, those already go to church. Why? Because this give money. You know, and they keep repeating the same gospel to the same people who are yawning and sleeping in some churches because they give money every week. So these are the two kind of churches, two kind of pastors of today. So let's make sure we pastors, we preachers belong to the Philadelphia category, to those who preach the gospel, not to those who already believe because they give money, but to those who don't believe, to whom we might have to pay a meal. We might have to offer a drink. We might have to offer, invite them to our house, risking that the guy might not be a real friend. Invite them, meet them in a restaurant, meet them in a coffee shop. Spend some time in the streets. Go door to door, finding them, like it says in Acts 5:42. I think it is 42. It says every day in the temple and every house, they cease not to preach Jesus Christ. It says every day in every house, the true church of the first three centuries, they were meeting only in houses without millions of dollars from America, without squeezing the last drop of money from the believers to build, to make an idol religious temple. They were meeting in houses, only in houses. And that's what they want the world. They begin to lose the world when they start building temples, so-called, in the fourth century. Next.
About Revelations 9, verse 3. Because it says that out of the bottomless pit came out some locusts.
Yeah.
And then it describes these locusts, which are really not like normal locusts. They seem very strange. They have faces like men and hair and breastplates and weapons. They seem to be fighting.
Yeah, with the brimstone and fire, they kill and destroy.
So what are the locusts that come out of the bottomless pit?
Well, you must understand that the prophet here is having a hard time describing, but he does a very good job describing modern day warfare.
So this is like real people that actually do war?
These are demons, okay? These are demons.
Because they come out of the pit.
Yeah, they come out from the pit, and they're like locusts, like you have to describe somehow. They are demons who possess the people with the mark of the beast, okay? Automatically, as soon as somebody gets the mark of the beast, he gets possessed by a demon, all right? Mm-hmm. And they serve the Antichrist.
And they will make the war.
They make war for the devil, for the beast, for the Antichrist. Revelation 13, they will conquer the world for a little period. Okay, so these are demons. You can see in this chapter 9, how the people are killed by fire, smoke, and brimstone. You know, it's a perfect depiction of modern day warfare.
Why does it say they can hurt people for 5 months? Why specifically 5 months?
Because that's the length of this specific war.
It's a war.
Just like, just like World War II was, it lasted like a number of, I think about almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. So, this will last 5 months.
And it says that man will seek death and will not find it.
Yeah, because I believe that these people are going to be, see, we're talking about here, like it says in verse 18, 2 billion, that's would be, and a half would be killed.
Okay. Read verse 13 yet.
Okay, why don't you read it?
Okay.
Verse 18.
18. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths.
See, perfect depiction of modern day warfare, okay?
So this will be an actual real war with real people fighting, not locusts.
Demon-possessed people.
Yeah, they're possessed by demons, but men, actually.
The locusts represent the demons who possess the people, mm-hmm. who follow the Antichrist, who take the mark of the beast and make war. Okay, so to answer your question, verse 6, they say seek death and not find it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking about here that there will be all-out wars, war after war after war. I counted 5 wars that the Antichrist will wage in the history of the Antichrist, which is Daniel 11 from 21 until 45. He fights 5 wars. And, of course, it's going to be atomic wars, okay? Because 2.5 billion of people are not going to die if it's not atomic.
Do you know against who? Among who is going to be the atomic war? Who's going to be destroyed?
Let me finish your question first. So you were saying, so
why do they seek death and not find
verse
it?
Verse 6, yes. They seek death and not find it because it's going to be atomic wars. So you know what's a characteristic of atomic wars, right? People are still being born
radiations.
In Hiroshima and Nagasaki and Chernobyl. They're still being born deformed, with 2 heads, without hands, without eyes. You know, they're being born horribly because of radiation. So after these atomic wars, they're going to be people seeking for death and not finding it because these people are going to be suffering the pains of hell day and night. They cannot sleep because of the pain, because of radiation. I mean, the morphine and that kind of stuff, they can only help you a little. But then it doesn't work after a while. So these people, they want to die, but the doctors are not going to be allowed to kill them. It's going to be against the law.
In other words, it's going to be so painful that they would rather have death.
It's going to be so painful. There are people today that beg to be killed. There are people who are paralyzed, who live in incredible heart conditions at the hospital. They are fighting legal battle because they want to be killed. And the doctors say it's against the law. So I believe that's what it means here.
I understand.
And the atomic war that you mentioned is going to be between who and who? Who's going to be destroyed?
Well, you have to see who the enemies are. In Daniel 11, it shows 2 blocks, the king of the north and the king of the south. The king of the north is the one that puts places, the abomination of desolation, the temple. Verse 31.
In other words, the Antichrist.
And the king of the south, I mean, since the battle is going to be between the north and the south, it's going to be Israel and Europe.
Why you say Israel and Europe? And north and south of what?
Well, this north and south, the center of the world is Israel, okay? Every time you go north, south and north, you have to see.
Uh-huh.
You need to understand the location of Israel to understand where north is.
So north and south of Israel.
Right, so the king of the north is the Antichrist. By Ezekiel 38 and 39... we see that the Christ is called Gog, coming from Magog. Most Bible dictionary, Magog is Russia. So, Gog is the king of Russia. By Daniel chapter 7, we see that the Antichrist will come from the fourth beast, which represents Rome, and will be supported by 10 horns, which are 10 kings, which we see them again in Revelation 17. The ten horns of the dragon will give power to the beast, and they will fight against the Lamb, against God. All right. So basically, by all the scripture together, especially Ezekiel 38, we see that the Antichrist is called Gog, even says in this chapter, they will invade Israel. Okay. So the Antichrist, we see here that he will be followed by a coalition formed by Gomer and his bands, by Togarma, and by Magog.
Who's Gomer and Togarma?
So Gomer, okay, was the son of Japheth. He took over Europe, went to Europe, Gomer. Magog, okay, he was the son of Japhet, took over.
Went, Magog was the son of Japhet?
Of Japhet. Magog,
Magog
yes.
was the son of Japhet.
Yes. He took over what today would be South Russia. Okay, Togarma was another guy. He took over what today is Turkey. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then he gives a bunch of names. He says Iran, Libya, some Bible translate Persia, some Bible translate Iran. Anyway, it's the same country. So Togarma is Turkey today. So basically, he's giving the name of Libya, Ethiopia, he says, Iran, all these countries, they're all Muslim countries which will follow the Antichrist. Keep in mind that Magog is Russia. So today already you see the world divided in exactly these two blocks. You see that Europe is doing good public relations, always try to help the Palestinians, keeping good relations with the Arabs. Europe is opening the doors to the Muslims who come to Europe, and they are building mosque after mosque. Europe, through the treaty ENPI, is giving a lot of money to the Muslim country.
Why are they doing that?
They're doing that to take over.
The Europeans?
Yeah. They want to rebuild the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. And if you see the NP, it's all the countries around the Mediterranean. NP is a European Neighborhood Partnership Instrument. It's a European, it's a lot of smoke
it's
in your eyes.
It's not clear what it is.
It's a lot of smoke in your eyes. What it really means is a prophecy fulfilled of the covenant. Mm-hmm. And it's for 7 years between Europe and Israel.
A prophecy fulfilled?
Yeah, because in Daniel 9 talks about the Antichrist and make a pact for 7 years.
So it's already here, the pact?
Yes, the beginning. But see, Daniel 9:27, he says he will confirm the covenant. Mm-hmm. In other words, the covenant is already in place.
It's already in place.
But the Antichrist will have to be the one renewing it.
It fits the last 7 years, yes.
Okay.
We will know by some biblical prophetic signals if it is the last 7 years or not. Mm-hmm. And the main signal is going to be that the Jews will be allowed to rebuild the temple. So if they sign another 7 years covenant between Europe and a politician from Europe, a representative from Europe, maybe a Russian, will sign this covenant with Israel for 7 years, and at the same time the Jews are allowed to build the temple, that's, you can start counting the days. These are the last seven years to the rapture. They are 3.5 years to the Great Tribulation.
All right. So concerning the atomic war that will come, the Antichrist with Europe and backed up by the Muslims are on one side. And on the other side?
The other side is the king of the south, which is Israel. We know this because...
But how can Israel fight against Europe and the Muslims?
Just a second.
But you said it's south of Israel, so how can it
just
be
a second. No, Israel is south of the north.
Sorry, what?
Okay, the war is going to be between north
Israel
and south.
Israel is south of the north?
Israel is south of... From the north point of view, Israel is south.
Okay.
So the king of the south can only be Israel. But we have a confirmation by Ezekiel 38 and 39 that it says the Antichrist will invade Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody... South of Israel, there is nothing. There is Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Antichrist is not going to fight against Africa.
I understand.
So the king of the south is Israel. Okay. So
by Ezekiel 38.
By Ezekiel 38 and 39, mm-hmm. we know that Gog invades Israel.
And how can Israel fight
okay.
against
the Antichrist? I'll get there in a second. So.
We have so many questions
about
the
Israel is south, if Israel is the king of the south,
yes.
therefore. That can only be the only two blocks, okay? So you're asking how can
the Antichrist and Europe and the Muslims fight against Israel? I mean, they're going to finish Israel in a second.
Right, exactly.
That's what's going to happen?
Exactly. Well, but Israel, look now in politics of today.
Mm-hmm.
Israel has a very powerful supporter. Who is that?
Yeah. America.
The States.
America, understand? Uh-huh. So basically... The blocks will be divided between Israel and America, okay, and probably Australia, maybe New Zealand, maybe this and that, maybe England, okay? Okay, anybody who's really America, philo America, America mm-hmm. lover, okay? And that's it, these are the two blocks.
So Obama's not the Antichrist then? That's
what?
One thing we prove. Obama cannot be the Antichrist.
Absolutely,
then.
No. Yeah. But before he was elected, I was saying that he cannot be the Antichrist
yes.
because he comes from Russia. Russia and
the Antichrist
Europe.
Must come from Russia.
From Russia or Europe, one of the two.
Why does
probably
America,
Russia, for sure from Europe.
Why does America always back up Israel?
The Jews, Israel, took over America, just like...
In what sense to cover?
But just like Hitler. Hitler was persecuting the Jews because the Jews were taking over Germany, the banks and everything.
So financial taking over.
That's why there was persecution against the Jews. So the Jews did to America now what they were trying to do in Germany. Mm-hmm. Only in Germany, Hitler stopped them. Okay? And Hitler was not in the crisis. Not that he was any great humanitarian, okay? But nevertheless, politically speaking, the other point, the Jews were taking over Germany. And of course, he did it the wrong way. Right? But so the Jews succeeded to do to America what they tried to do to Germany. Only they learned the lesson in America, they were more sneaky. They started silence, you know? They crept in and took over Hollywood, the banks, and through the banks, they took over the media. Because once you have all the money, you can buy whatever you want. So the media today, the media is in America, 90% of, they're just shining shoes of the politician. They just, you know, banks, international banking, based in New York. So the banks, the media, and the government, they're all working together. It's a big mafia, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on. Obama and company and Bush, they're just puppets of the new world order, who controls everything. In Europe, it's not as much, because usually it's very socialistic. According to the prophecies, that we unite with Russia, which they don't want, because they know when Russia joins it, they take over. So they don't want Russia. But they will. They will have to do that, because they will need the Russian power to do this and that, etc., etc.
In Revelation 9:11, I want to ask you, it says that this locust, they had a king over them called Abaddon and Apollyon. What does this mean? Who is this person?
Well, in Greek, Apollyon means a destroyer. Same meaning in the Hebrew, Abaddon.
Destroyer. So this is the devil?
Well, it's one devil. It's a big one.
It's not the devil, the main devil.
It's the main devil of the bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. Like it says in Revelation 11, chapter 9:11, the other king over there, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. So basically, he is the king of the bottomless pit. Understand?
And why is not the devil?
Because the devil is not the bottomless pit now.
Ah, yeah, because he just fell from heaven and he got the keys.
Right.
But this king, he came out of the bottomless
pit. Right. He couldn't have been the king of the bottomless pit. The devil was not there. And he is not there. Mm-hmm. The devil falls from heaven. Okay. And just
what
like
does
it says,
say the devil falls from heaven?
Well, in Revelation 12, it says that the archangel Michael and his angel fights against the devil and his demons and his angels, and they cast them out from heaven.
Okay,
so
they're in heaven so far.
And then when he cast down from heaven, he persecutes the woman, mm-hmm, in Revelation 12, but the woman is protected for 3.5 years. But then he makes war with the rest of the seed, the rest of the Christian, in Revelation 12:17. In Revelation 13:7, he overcomes them. Understand? So the protection is only for the woman for 3.5 years. But the Christians who are not active, who don't prepare, they're not going to be protected because they don't obey, they don't listen, so yes, they cannot be protected.
Okay, so this is one of king over the locusts is one of the main demons, one of the chiefs of the devil, but it's not the devil himself.
Yeah, it seems like he's his right hand.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yes.
So, he's the king of the bottomless pit, because that means he's been living there. He has been there. It's a spirit that comes down from the bottomless pit and leads, is the king that leads all these demons coming out.
Yes.
In fact, another scripture to show that it's not the devil is Revelation 11:7.
What does it say?
It says that the beast, the Antichrist, will make war against the two witnesses, mm-hmm, at the end of the tribulations, after the testimony, okay, of 42 months.
Yes.
It says in Revelation 11, 42 months. At the end of the testimony, the end of the 42 months, the beast from the bottomless pit will make war and kill them.
So he said the beast is an Antichrist.
Exactly.
The Antichrist comes from the bottomless pit?
Exactly. That's what it says in Revelation 11:7.
So the destroyer Apollyon is the Antichrist.
It seems to be exactly the same spirit.
I see.
Understand? So the Antichrist, Revelation 11:7, comes from the bottomless pit. The Apollyon is the king of the bottomless pit. So it's clear that the king of the bottomless pit obviously is going to be the king on this earth, of everything else, mm-hmm, to whom the dragon, the devil, all right, gives him power. He sees that at Revelation 13.
Yes.
It's very clear.
Yes, now it's
so
clear.
This seems to me that at the beginning of the Great Tribulation, when the devil is cast down from heaven, Revelation 8:1, and it's on the earth, cast down, like fulfilling Revelation chapter 12, when the Archangel Michael cast him out from heaven with his angels. Okay, it seems that he comes down, God allows him to have a key to open the prison of the bottomless pit, get all those demons out who have a king over them.
I have a problem with the timing.
Let me finish this. Have a king over them, all right, and then take over the world. They're like locusts, they possess the people of the mark of the beast. And it seems to me that this spirit, this Apollyon coming from the bottomless pit will possess a specific person who will be a leader, until then, kind of probably a meek guy, just a normal politician looking, nevertheless, antichrist, ungodly. So this Apollyon will possess this guy who makes, this politician, who makes the 7-year covenant, and he becomes the antichrist.
It doesn't make sense, sorry. Because if this happens during the Great Tribulation, that's the last 3.5 years of the 7. Now, how can the bottomless pit release this demon who will become the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist should be in position before he signs the 7 years?
No, in the imposition could be simply just a simple, normal Antichrist politicians who makes a 7-year covenant, but does not start the Great Tribulation yet. Because the first 3.5 years is not tribulation.
So he gets possessed, you mean?
He gets possessed in the middle of the 7 years. He breaks then the covenant, and he declares himself God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Mm-hmm. You understand? The moment that this Apollyon comes out from the bottomless pit, possess these ungodly leaders, the visible leader, some kind of a new Hitler, so to speak,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
He will be possessed by these Apollyon demons, and he becomes the Antichrist, apparently the same person. In reality, from being a normal and ungodly Antichrist leader, becomes the Apollyon,
yes.
Becomes the Antichrist, to whom, Revelation 13, the dragon, Satan, gives him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And then he has this power and this authority. With this authority, he can do miracles, all kinds of stuff. Revelation 13,
okay.
Fire from heaven. He will deceive the world. And you say, I'm God. 2 Thessalonians 2. Worship me as God. And then he breaks the covenant, plays abomination of desolation, which I believe is going to be, we'll see when we get there. And abomination of desolation, he plays this abomination, like it's in Daniel 11:31, and Jesus says in Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination spoken by Daniel, flee, because then, okay, Matthew 24:21, shall be great tribulations. It all fits together.
Okay, now I understand it makes sense.
Yes. Before we go on to the next scripture from Revelation 9, I want to ask, the Great Tribulation already is going to be very bad, because all the Christians are going to be persecuted, and it's going to be, like Jesus said, a tribulation like never before. Why does God allow also all these extra things, atomic wars? I mean, a third of the people dying. I mean, why? Why is it so much? It seems like impossible to actually comprehend.
First of all, the first trumpet in Revelation 8:1, sounds because God signals the beginning of the tribulation. That does not mean that God makes the tribulation. The tribulation is the wrath of the devil. Revelation 12:12.
Yeah, you explained earlier. But okay, why does God allow it so much?
God, you said it. God allows.
Why
but,
so much?
But it's not God.
So much evil. So
but
much.
It's not God's will. It's not God's creation. It's not God's plan. See, the Calvary and Jesus' crucifixions and the persecution of the Christian for 300 years is not God's plan. God allowed it because we live in a fallen world where the people put the devil in the place of God, and God has to allow them to have whatever they want to show them and to show everybody, including the angels in heaven, what happens when people have their will, their way. So God has to allow this freedom. And in this freedom, the devil, the demons, and the ungodly world will create the great tribulation, where they will slay each other, they will kill each other, they make war against each other. In the process, they persecute the Jews. Like World War II, Hitler made war right and left against everybody. In the process, was killing the Jews.
Yes.
I understand. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of man. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By this tree was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like the serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Brother Joseph, this is exactly what you just said. Because I asked you, why does God allow so much evil? It's not enough that the devil, through the Antichrist, persecutes the Christians. Why also all these atomic wars and the third part of the mankind he killed? This is exactly God's confirmation to your answer that you gave me.
Yeah, amen.
It says still they didn't repent of their works.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Like God allows all these works of the Antichrist so they can see that following the devil is just going to produce death and nothing else. But they're still blinded by the greed, by their worship of devils and the idols of gold and silver and brass, etc. Mm-hmm. And they still don't repent.
Wow.
Understand? Because 2 Thessalonians 2 says that they don't love the truth, then God allows a strong delusion.
Amen. Going back to what we read, verse 14, it says, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates, which were prepared for a specific hour, month, and so on." What is this great river Euphrates and this?
Well, we must, to understand this one, we must have an overall understanding of the whole end time, otherwise we don't understand this. So first of all, where are we here? We are at the level, at the stage,
of the Great Tribulation.
At the timetable of the end of the Great Tribulation.
Yeah.
We have the sixth angel.
Okay.
All right. There's only one angel missing, the seven, but that is the rapture. Revelations 11:15. That's after the 42 months of tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 15, 2 and 3, it gives 42 months. At the end of that, verse 7, they are killed. After they are killed, at the end of tribulation, verse 15, seven trumpet sounds, and we know that's the rapture.
The rapture.
Okay, so we need to understand that these six angel sounds toward the end of the tribulation. So we are here approaching the end of the 42 months. So now, at this point, it is six angels, he saying to the six angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates."
So the actual river that exists?
That's in Turkey, Syria. It divides the whole, all the eastern side of Israel. It's like a protection for the armies not to come in. So for the armies, the Antichrist to invade Israel, you see, the devil will dry this river. But God will give the signal, because this is where the invasion of Israel begins. Look, I will take you to Revelation 16.
The same thing like you told us from Ezekiel 38.
Yes.
Israel will be invaded?
Yes, it will be invaded after the river is dried. Because Israel will be invaded at the end, alright?
The end of the Great Tribulation?
At the end of the wrath of God will be invaded.
But you just said that the sixth angel is towards the end of the Great Tribulation.
Right. But this is the signal to dry the river. It's not the signal for Israel to be invaded.
Uh-huh.
So here is signals at the end of the tribulation, signals the angels that they have permission. It's not God's will. It's the devil's will. Only the devil cannot do it if God doesn't say, okay, now you can. Okay? So the six angels signals these devils to dry up the river Euphrates, which, by the way, they have already done experimentation. 1992, Turkey built a series of some 22 dams you know, dikes, which dried up the river Euphrates completely. So they almost had a war with Syria and the other countries down there.
They experimented
it? Yeah, they experimented. They dried it up. They have 22 dams. It's called the Ataturk project. Okay, and they
it's
dried
amazing
up.
Amazing to see the Bible fulfilled in the news.
Yeah, it's fulfilled.
It's amazing.
So if you come to, look, if you go to Revelation 16, look, you go to verse 12. Read the from 12 until, let's go to 16.
Revelation 16, from what verse?
12 until 16. Look what it says. You get a shock here.
And the sixth angel poured out the vial upon the great river Euphrates. Well, it's the same thing. Wow. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Okay, remember what I told you before, the Revelation 15 and 16 is the wrath of God?
Yes.
After the rapture?
Yes.
All right. So here you see that it's dried up. So it's very close. The sixth trumpet, signal to the angels. Okay? And then here, in Revelation 16, we are at the six vials of wrath. So between the sixth trumpet, inside the great tribulation, before the end, before the rapture, and to the sixth angel with the sixth vial of wrath, which is happens after the rapture. We know that the wrath of God, we already studied that, is 30 days, okay?
We did study it in a different class. We actually have it also on YouTube. There is a playlist on our End Time 7777. There is a playlist called End Time Chronology Revealed. And there, in the End Time Chronology events, the 15th event, it's called The Marriage of the Lamb, The Wrath of God, Destruction of Babylon. When will they happen? And here it's explained with detail, with many scriptures. But I still want to ask you, Brother Joseph, in a couple of words, tell us, why do you say it's 30 days, the wrath of God?
Okay, I'll try to explain it very, very quickly. I'll give you the answer.
Yes.
However, you can go to this teaching for
detailed
any
study.
Details you might want. First of all, you need to know the overall chronology, okay, to understand the days of Daniel 12, 11, and 12. You want to read the Daniel 12, 11 and 12, please?
Daniel 12, 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,305 days. That was 11 and 12. And it's many numbers here. Quite a confusion. Brother Joseph, help.
No, help to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That, Holy Spirit, help.
That's how we learn here.
Well, what are those numbers?
It's really not that difficult if you have a grasp of the overall, the whole end time prophecies. So the way to start here to entangle this is, first of all, to know the chronology of the end time. So you need to know that Antichrist make a 7-year covenant, all right, which is 7 years. Daniel 9:27. Next, Antichrist breaks the covenant.
Yes.
Daniel 9:27, it says in the middle. That is after 42 months. Okay, we know that.
Yes.
All right. And then he places the abomination of desolation, Daniel 11, 31, which Jesus says in Matthew 24, 15 and 21, that when, like Daniel said, that the Antichrist places the abomination, there shall be great tribulations. All right. So since it happens in the middle, okay, we're talking about 3.5 years of tribulations, not the 7 years like some wrong prophecies, etc. Okay, so now we go to the end of the 7 years, all right, which by a bunch of other prophecies we already studied, it's followed by the rapture. Okay, this is that's where the devil really tried to get in. Okay, the rapture is after the 3.5 years of tribulation. You can see that very clear also in Revelation 11. It gives a period of 42 months, all right, of great tribulations. And then in verse 7, the end of the 42 months of tribulation. And then verse 15, the seven trumpet sounds, which according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, it's a rapture.
Very, yes, the very last clear. Trumpet, yes.
Now, we have this chronology. Then, knowing that the rapture follows the tribulations, when is going to be the wrath? Well, let's keep going. We know that the Armageddon is after the rapture. So we have, for sure, when the rapture is, we know, at the end of the 7 years. For sure, Armageddon follows the rapture. And then we have, in the middle, the wrath of God. Why in the middle? Because Revelation 15, 1 and 2, we read that when the people of God as the victory over the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, the number of his name, etc., which can only be after the tribulation. Then, after that, starts the wrath of God.
Yes, that was clear.
Okay, it's clear. And then that's Revelation 15 and 16, the wrath of God. It begins in Revelation chapter 15, mm-hmm. very clear, ends in Revelation 19. So 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. There are five chapters of wrath of God.
19 is the marriage and the Armageddon.
That's like a parenthesis.
Okay.
Because it happens after the rapture.
Yes.
And it happens during the wrath of God.
In the same time. You mean there is the rapture.
Yes.
Then right after the rapture is the marriage in heaven.
No, as soon as...
While on earth is the wrath of God.
As soon as the rapture happens, the seven trumpets, mm-hmm. okay, the wrath of God begins on earth.
In the same time, while in heaven, the saints are celebrating.
In the same time, because
we see
that the rapture happened in Revelation 15, 1 and 2.
Yes.
They got the victory.
Yes.
Okay, but that's when the wrath begins.
It's true, yes.
Okay. And then the wrath continues all the way to the end of Revelation 19, Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the wrath begins in Revelation 15 and continues until Revelation 19, and the marriage of the Lamb can only be during the wrath of God.
Yes, I understand.
All right. In fact, it's very well encapsulated in parentheses in Revelation 19, verse 7, is the marriage of the Lamb.
Yes.
And that's exactly during the wrath of God, which starts chapter 16 to 19. Very
okay.
clear. So once you know this chronology, then you understand, only then you can understand Daniel 12, 11, and 12, which
so again,
you just read.
Again, then the chronology is the Great Tribulation.
The chronology is 7 years covenant.
Okay, start there. Okay.
Breaking of the covenant.
In the middle of the 7 years.
42 months to go, Great Tribulations.
Yes.
Then?
After the Great Tribulation, at the end is the rapture.
Yes.
As soon as the saints are raptured, on earth starts the wrath of God.
Yes.
While in heaven is the marriage of the Lamb.
Exactly.
At the end of the wrath of God is Armageddon.
And the end of the marriage of the Lamb. So it makes sense that before Jesus Christ...
Yes, because Jesus comes back after the marriage.
Comes back, exactly, with the bride...
Yes.
...to fight with his angels, the bride, his angels, to fight the beast, Revelation 19:11. It makes sense that that's the marriage already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not going to marry the bride after Armageddon. It's like they don't even know they're the bride. They don't even know. So
what does it have to do with Daniel 12?
Okay, first of all, you need to write down these progressions.
Okay.
Once you have this progression, now Daniel 12, 11 and 12 makes sense. Read it again now, then we'll explain.
Daniel 12, 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So what does this mean?
Well,
this is from the time that the Great Tribulation starts.
Yes, at the breaking of the covenant, when the daily sacrifice is stopped.
We know that the tribulation is 1,260 days. So why does it say 1,290 days?
Okay, because this number gives you the length of the wrath of God and the marriage feast, the marriage of the Lamb, you understand? Because...
The 30 days you're talking about.
Because in Daniel 12, if you read the Daniel 12 from 1 until 3, it has the following events. Number one, the Great Tribulations. Right,
yes.
You see Michael, the archangel, fighting.
Time of trouble.
So it's the same archangel Michael, which in Revelation 12 is fighting the devil, casting him out of heaven, and the devil is cast down on the earth and persecute the woman, and starts the Great Tribulation. Okay? So Daniel 12:1, it talks about the devil being cast out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he cast down onto the earth. They kill the bottomless pit, open the bottomless pit, the demons are out, Apollyon comes up, possesses the Antichrist, that's the Great Tribulations. Alright, and then in verse 2 and 3, it talks about the rapture, the resurrection, the rewards.
Daniel 12, 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
So, verse 2 and 3, we see some are resurrected to shame.
Yes.
Others are resurrected to shine as stars.
Yes.
Now, this happens after the Great Tribulations. in this time, because he gives verse 11, he gives 1,290 days. So this is not after the millennium, it's before the millennium. So these resurrections of the it happens before the millennium. So the people are not saved for the white throne judgment. They resurrect after the millennium in accordance with Revelation 20, verse 11. You follow?
But then here is the rapture in Daniel 12, too, because it says in verse 1, there's a time of trouble like never before, and then they that sleep shall resurrect.
Exactly. So,
and then comes the rapture.
So here it tells you who these guys are. So it gives you the tribulation, 1,260 days, correct? And
yes.
Then he gives you the resurrections.
Which comes before the rapture, we know.
Yes, and we know that it doesn't say, but it's followed by the rapture. We know by other scripture.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, but this focus on the resurrections. Mm-hmm. So, this resurrected, one, to everlasting shame, two, to everlasting blessings.
Yes.
Here we see the resurrection of the church. This is the rapture. You know, all the Christians are going to be raptured. Even the saved Christian who are saved but belong to some Laodicea church, they will be raptured because they are saved. They don't have to wait for after the millennium, the white throne judgment to be judged. They are resurrected together, righteous and unrighteous.
But for shame, it says.
Yes, some for shame because they were ashamed of Christ. They were ashamed to preach the gospel to the lost. They were ashamed to give the money to Jesus, the life to Jesus, the family to God, the dedicate the time to God, etc.
Yes.
All right. Ashamed to preach the gospel. Others who led many to righteousness, whose righteousness? Jesus. Led many to Jesus, led many to salvation, shall shine as stars. So what do we see here? Attention. How can they shine as stars? By marrying Christ, by the marriage feast, by the marriage of the Lamb, by the receiving of the rewards. So what is this? The marriage of the Lamb. So
yes.
Here we see, one, the tribulation.
Basically, two, the rewards.
Two, the resurrections. Three, the rewards of the righteous. Which is the rewards of the righteous?
The
marriage of the Lamb.
Amen.
Here in this scripture, from one until three, we see, one, the tribulation. Two, the resurrection and rapture, okay, and three, the loss of blessings and to everlasting shame of the Christian who are now not giving their life to Jesus. And next is the rewards of the righteous, which is the marriage of the Lamb. And now we go to verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be stopped, shall be 1,290 days. Why 90? Because it includes the resurrections and the marriage feast and the marriage with the Lamb. So we have 1,260, which are the great tribulation. But we have 30 more. By this we know that
That is quite a marriage feast.
Yes. By this we know that the marriage of the Lamb will last 30 days.
Wonderful.
You understand? Okay, and then keep reading. More surprises.
Verse 12. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
Okay. So here you have another 40 days on top, another 45 days on top.
So 1,335.
45 more. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here, what is it? Here, there is only one more event. One more event to happen. What happens after the wrath of God?
The Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Because afterwards is the millennium. So.
We know this by the chronology which we studied before.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so 1,260, great tribulation. 30 days, the wrath and the marriage. 45 days, the Armageddon. Total, 1,335.
Why are they blessed, those who come to Armageddon?
right.
I mean, I wouldn't consider them blessed.
Because you picture yourself in this blessing.
Of course.
You picture the Christians in these blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this doesn't refer to you, it doesn't refer to the Christians.
You're already raptured and you already got married.
Exactly. You're already raptured, you're married with the Lamb. He's not talking. He's not talking about you. You're already married with Christ.
Okay, and who's blessed?
Also, the ones who be resurrected to everlasting shame, there's not to be blessed, they're already judged.
So then?
You know?
Blessed.
It's not that.
These are the people left behind. Now we can talk about left behind.
Still, why are they blessed to go to Armageddon?
They're blessed because there is still, during the wrath of God, the Antichrist will still be in power. People can still see the mark of the beast and still go to hell. That's why.
So in other words, they are blessed if they don't do it.
If they don't receive the mark of the beast. So what he's saying here,
okay, I understand.
He's saying here, Don't give up. Don't give up. Like it says in Luke chapter 12, blessed is the servant who is waiting for the Lord coming from the marriage. Remember, do you want to go search or you can do your searching by yourself?
Yes.
In Luke 12, it says, blessed is the servant that waits until his Lord comes from the marriage.
Now back to the...
So to understand this passage in Luke 12, okay, you must understand all the scriptures. And I tell you...
Yeah, because it comes from the marriage.
It's quite... because the people ask, who are these guys waiting for the Lord to come for the wedding? These are the people who are not married. The people who don't have the mark of the beast. The people to whom God is saying, blessed are you if you don't take the mark of the beast and wait. Why? Because you can still get saved. You can still be saved. You can still become a Christian. You can still go to heaven. If in those 30 days period, in fact 75, because plus 40 days of Armageddon, in those 75 days, you don't receive the mark of the beast. The blessed is he that waits, don't receive the mark, and comes to 1,335. Understand?
Now, how does it connect with the River Euphrates?
Okay, now we go back to Revelation 16.
Yes, but before you... Answer, Angela. It says the sixth angel poured out the vial upon the great river Euphrates. Is this the same sixth angel from the trumpets that we just read in Revelation 8 and 9?
No. The sixth angel of Revelation 9 is the angel of the sixth trumpet.
Okay.
The sixth angel of Revelation 16 is the angel of the sixth vial of the wrath of God. They're different.
Okay. It's two different events.
Yes.
And two different angels.
Two different angels.
Well, even though...
I don't know if he's going to use the same angels or not, but yes. As far as category is different, yes. It could but, be the, I don't know. If it's,
but the thing is, the river is the same.
The river is exactly the same.
So why are they two different events?
No, one was the Great Tribulation. We saw the trumpets or the Great Tribulation?
Yes.
It's the same event, understand? It's the same river Euphrates. There are not two rivers Euphrates. Only it begins to be dried up during the Great Tribulations.
Okay.
And later after the rapture, after we are in heaven and everything, then the armies begin to cross it and enter Israel during the wrath of God.
Okay. I understand now the chronology.
See, the Antichrist world continues. We are rapture for us. Hallelujah, we are here. But here in the world, things continue. Mm-hmm. Blessed is he who doesn't take the mark of the beast that waits until the end of Armageddon. We are in heaven. I know we're going to be there having a blast of a time, jumping up and down, having heavenly cakes, finally get married with Jesus. Those of us who are chosen, attention, those of us who are faithful, those of us who live now as the bride of Christ, those among us will be chosen to be the bride. Okay. On earth, things will continue as normal. Mark of the beast, the people cannot do shopping, they cannot go to the supermarket and get their peanut butter, their oil, their sugar, their honey. They have to go in the woods and eat roots or something. So blessed is he if you keep eating roots from the trees, so to speak, and wait until 1,335 days until the end of the Armageddon. Blessed is he, because then in the millennium, Christ will rule on earth. Psalm chapter 2, Christ will rule and won't be the devil anymore. Amen? Blessed. Amen.
So, Revelations 9, it says the sixth angel, when he sounds, there are four angels loosed, which were kept in the great river Euphrates, and these four angels were prepared to slay the third part of man.
What scripture are you? 9 what?
Verse 15.
This is verse 15.
So?
It says they were actually prepared from before to slay a part.
So you are 9:15?
Yes.
Okay, let me get that. All right.
Now, so these are bad angels who are actually prepared to kill humans?
Yeah. They're bound. They're prisoners.
Yeah.
These are demons. Mm-hmm. The demons are the devil wants to set them free to dry the river. All right. Because they're not going to close the dams, the dikes in Turkey because they decide. God decides. They can do it, but they're not going to do it without God's permissions. All right. So, devil wants to do that so the armies or the kings of the East can come in, but they cannot do that if God doesn't give permission. Because even though this is the devil's plan, yet God is in real power. The one who really controls is God, and God will snap his fingers, okay, now, not before.
Yes, amen.
Just like the four angels commanding the great tribulations in Revelation chapter 7. So wait until we see the 144,000. It's God who decides when the devil can do his dirty work. Dirty work he will do, because he rebelled. But God says, okay, you will do dirty work against me, fine, but I decide when.
Verse 18, it says, by these three, from verse 17, they saw the horses in the vision, and then they sat on them, and brimstone, and the head of horses, and whatnot. By these three was the third part of men killed by fire, and by smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths.
That's 2.5 billion people.
Literally? Yeah.
2,500 million people, considering a third or more or less the population of today.
That's very much.
Oh, that's atomic war, believe me.
So, well, why does he say issued out of their mouth, the fire and the smoke and the brimstone?
Yeah, because the prophet was trying to describe here modern warfare, like tanks, you know. He tried to describe a tank who shoots fire from his mouth, a cannon, and it looks like this, looks like that, like the hair of a woman. You know, have you ever seen a tank, a camouflage with a net on top? It looks like hair. You know, and then the scorpions and the powers in the tails, the sting. I mean, have you seen those helicopter, war attack helicopter that shoots missiles, leaving smoke behind? I mean, things like that. This is it's describing in a parable form modern-day warfare, okay?
So all this is description of the tails and the scorpions and whatnot is the modern warfare.
Yes, and you understand the body of Frati now? Go back to Revelation 16. Did you finish Revelation 16 yet? I gave you some scripture to read.
No, I only read verse 12.
Okay, 16. Okay, go back to verse 12 until 16, I said.
Okay. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon.
Okay, so here you got it. Spelled it out, Armageddon. All right, Armageddon, it's an Hebrew word. It doesn't exist in the maps. Anyway, it's the Valley of Jezreel, all right.
I guess north, when we get there.
By Nazareth, you know, over there.
When we get there, we'll study
okay,
deeper.
North of Israel. So what he's saying here, basically, verse 12, the river Euphrates will be dried up so that the way of the kings of the east may be prepared. What do we have in the east right now?
Asia.
Well, we see that, exactly.
East of Israel, you mean, or what?
No, east, yeah. Whenever you read the Bible, it's always from the point of view of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So east of Israel. So what do we have in east of Israel? Right now, you can see the world is divided into blocks. Already we have the king of the south, Israel, supported by America.
Yes.
Already we see the king of the north, which is Europe, which is cooperating with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy tells us that we unite, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we have China. In the east, then we see also we have a lot of Muslim countries, Pakistan, Afghanistan, etc. We also have Iran, Turkey, etc. They're all east. So all these countries from the east, especially China, okay, I don't know about India, that's a question mark, they joined the Antichrist or no, but for sure, communist China and all the Islamic countries, they will join. We can see that by Ezekiel 38, it gives the name, Ethiopia, Iran, Turkey, Togarma, etc. Gomer and his bands. Gomer is the son of Japheth. He took over Europe. So Gomer is Germany, all right, the center of Europe. Europe began in Germany, all right? You can ask historians. Europe did not begin in Italy, in Rome. It began in Germany. That's then they came down from the Ark, Mount Ararat. So Magog went toward Russia, Gomer went toward Europe, and he didn't go to Italy, he went and Rome, the Roman Empire, no, he went through central Europe, you know, Romania, Hungary, Germany. And in Germany was the main base of the center of Europe. From there, they went south, and then Italy, Spain, which are a little darker, because they mix with the Middle East populations, you know, but it's still Europe. So basically, when you say Gomer, that means the son of Japheth, who took over Europe, and he took over, you can ask historians, you can study, he started in Germany. So in other words, Gomer means German. He says, Gomer and its band. Togarma was the old name of Turkey. Magog was the old name of Russia. So you have here, Gomer and its band, European community. And then you have Togarma, Turkey. Okay. and followed by others. And then you have Persia, you have Ethiopia, all Muslim countries. So you have Europe, Muslim countries, and Magog, Russia. This is a block. And you can see politically, you can check in every way, China is always on the side of Russia. In fact, now they're doing a military exercise together. You know, in Russia and China, for the first time, they're doing military exercise together. That should ring a bell to the King of the South. Okay, for when the place on the boots of America begin to shake. Because in the prophecy it said that they'll destroy America anyway. King of the South will lose. We see the end of Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon. So, that's it. Pretty clear so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, the sixth angel, Revelation 9, sound the trumpet to prepare the Euphrates, to set free the four angels. And then in Revelation 16, they actually dry up the Euphrates, that the way of the kings of the east may be prepared. That's it. Very clear, I think.
Yes, praise
God. Next.
Well, we finished Revelation chapter 9. The chapter finishes the last three verses saying how humans, even if they saw the invasion of all these demons who are destroying humanity, still humans, they do not repent. They don't want to repent of the fornication, sorceries, murders, and thefts. And this is very hard to believe. After you witness so many disasters and pains and sorrow, to continue in your sin.
One reason that a lot of them will not repent is because some of them are going to sell their souls to the devil through the mark of the beast. They will, which I believe most probably is going to be the microchip, a device already invented. Why do I believe the microchip and as well as many other Bible scholars? Because microchip has all the numbers, all the characteristics, or the mark of the beast. Why? Because it controls your brain. It tells you what to do. Like they experimented on thieves, they don't steal. On rapists, they don't rape anymore. So they can stop you for certain things. They can stop you to believe in a false belief, such as Christianity, false belief in quotes.
So that is the reason why they do not repent, because they are basically
some of them are going programmed to have the mark of the beast. Either because they don't want Jesus Christ, they want the Antichrist. One way or the other, they will not repent.
Boy.
Tell you, if they put your microchip in my right hand, I cut my hand. But to put it on my head, I guess I cut off all my skin.
That if you still have your free will.
The thing
but
is,
if not,
the problem, exactly. The problem is that won't be possible, because once you receive the microchip, it's like the computer will tell you what to think. Just like you have a cellular phone, and the computer will, through the satellite, blah, blah, will tell you, will tell the cellular phone your credit is finished, goodbye. Hmm. It sends you messages,
yes,
etc. Only the message they'll be sent directly to your brain, because the microchip will not be on the cellular phone, it will be on your head or on your right hand. Your right hand, which will influence your brain anyway. Just like you have a remote control, you can tell a TV what to do. So the remote control will be in your right hand, they can tell your brain what to do. The programming, the computer under the control of the devil in the flesh, Apollyon, the Antichrist, will program the computer, which I believe is the image of the beast, Revelation 13, which I believe is the same thing, abomination of desolation, Matthew 24:15. I believe it's the same thing. I believe it's going to be a computer. It doesn't say, but it's the only thing that can control all the microchips of the world. Amen. That's my belief. You can believe what you want, but it's
I guess you'll explain better when we get there.
Yeah, when we get there.
Well, considering all the brainwashing that these people will go through because of the mark, the only solution I see is now to go evangelizing as much as we can to bring as many souls as possible to heaven. Do our part now while we still can, because then it's going to be much harder afterwards.
Well, if you are the bride of Christ, you will do that already. You don't wait until Jesus comes back with all his gifts in his hands. It's, oh, wait. Look at the gifts he has. Now, I want to be a bride too. Jesus, I'm going to forsake my life. I'm going to serve you. I took a look at your gifts. And I think all of a sudden, I want to forsake all. All of a sudden, I want to worship you more than the world. I want to serve you more than the world. I want to build the kingdom of God more than the kingdom of the devil,
right,
more than this world. Now is the time. If you are a missionary like us, you'll push. If you're working in the world and you have a job and you work every day, 6 days a week, whatever, you'll make sure that you're not focusing your heart more in that,
amen,
than serving God.
Amen.
You'll make sure you'll find a job that will give you many hours to study the Bible and to preach it. If you have to eat potatoes or a soup, if you have to, you know, instead of going to the supermarket and fill your trolley, if you can just go to a guy who sells potatoes today, tomorrow go a piece of meat, the next day some pasta, you cut down your expenses to 80-85%, and then you serve the Lord with and invest your money in preaching the gospel. And I heard people saying, how do I know if my money gets to destination? No, my dear. You go to destination, not your money. You go. You finance yourself.
Man, so if you complain about that.
Don't complain. I mean, of course, most of today's are crooks. You know, most so-called missionaries, they go to Africa, take a couple of pictures, go back to the West. Look, I'm giving salvation to the Africans. Give me your money. They just have a couple of pictures, really. Okay, you go and preach the gospel.
Amen.
You go and reach the lost. See, the devil is deceiving so many Christians. Pay, support. Look at the photos. A thousand hands raised, they received Christ. Yeah, but the next day they took the plane, they went back to America, and what? They just collected pictures. They're doing nothing. So don't be deceived by false Christianity,
Amen.
Okay? Follow the true Christ. The best way,
Amen.
You start witnessing to the African next door.
Yes, Amen.
You
Amen.
Start witnessing the job where you work, in the street where you live, to your
Thank
neighbors.
Jesus.
And if they fire you because you evangelize, a blessing to you. God will Amen. Give you a better job.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's get busy witnessing.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.